Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Good morning. We are here to talk about candy and snacking, the snacking and candy habit. This is going to be a fun one, everybody. Shannon, if you want to raise your hand, perfect. I'm going to bring you up and I can get you up. And Coach Shannon is in the chat and the Q&A today with you. All things candy and snacks. She will be typing in all capital letters. She's not yelling at you. She is just wanting to make sure her posts stand out. And therefore, you will see her popping in and out of that chat in all caps. If you please would set your chat to everyone, that way we can all see your genius. I am No BS Coach Julie. I am the perfect person for this call because I love the candy. I wouldn't have identified myself as a sweet person in terms of food. I tend to lean towards the savory, but I do love me some candy. Let me just tell you. So today is open coaching. So in a couple of minutes, I will give you an opportunity to raise your hand. I just want to talk to you in general about snacks and candy and share with you how I think about candy and snacks in general. I plan regularly, and how I think about food is that it's all food. So I just make a list of food every day on my plan. It's just a straight list. That list crosses over between breakfast, lunch, dinner, all the categories. I don't even think about it by the meal type. It's just all food and I can eat whenever I want. So if I wanted to have ice cream for breakfast, I would. And if I wanted to have cereal for dinner, I would. And anything in between, I could care less what the food is called or what the meal is called. I just eat it. Ideally when I'm hungry and too enough, right? This is the key No BS concept. So while we are talking about snacking and candy today, these are a few questions I want you to think for yourself. What makes candy and snacks special? What do I enjoy about eating them? Why are they different than any other food? How do I want to think and feel about eating candy? I never thought to give you this list, Shannon, but I can paste it in the chat for you since I have it there for you. Why is wanting to eat candy a problem? How does future me handle eating candy? I want you to think about those questions as we work together today. So again, I'm No BS Coach Julie. We have No BS Coach Shannon here with us, and we are all things candy. This is going to be open coaching. So all things candy and snacks, I should say. If you want to be coached today, you just need to raise your hand and we will get through as many people that we can coach as we can. And we are solely working on candy and snacking. So the first person that raised their hand has a business name. So I'm going to promote you, Boys and Girls Club Steamboat Springs. And then if you will tell me your name, I would appreciate it. Okay. And I will ask you to start your video and ask you to unmute. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
My name's Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
And I can't believe I just raised my hand. It's not something I do.
I am so excited that you did. Welcome.
Hey.
So are you a snacker or candy eater?
So my issue, as you saw that I was Boys and Girls, is that I'm a director of a club. And so we offer snacks for the kids after school. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's processed, you know, chips, cookies. And so I'm not so much of a sweet person. But so I joined in January, and I just like I eat with the kids, and I don't want to, and I've been doing really well, but yesterday was horrible. Yeah. So anyways, that's where I am. That's my issue. I don't
know. Why is eating with the kids a problem?
Well, I'm not hungry, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in my brain is just not healthy.
Oh, so eating whatever the kids are eating is not healthy.
Right.
Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I want to think about it. Is there any, like, are there any bad and good foods?
My brain still says yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, but is
because it's like, so yesterday it was, I don't know, these Frito corn chips are twirly and they have some sort of spice on them. And I didn't need them, but they were there. They look good.
Yeah. So let's back up. That's really the problem, right? Is that you see them and you're like, they look good. I want them.
Right.
So what else is possible for you in that moment? Like what happens? You see something that looks good and then what?
So I eat a few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I feel guilty. And then, yeah.
Well, hold on. Okay. So you eat a couple and then you have a thought about eating them that makes you feel guilty. What's the thought?
Well, the thought was I planned either a fruit or normally I just have my staff deal with it. So I'm not around it. So I feel guilty because it's not planned. And so
you
in my
think
brain,
about the
like,
fact already, it's not planned.
Yeah. And it's not healthy, in my opinion, too.
Well, we'll work on the healthy part in a minute. But why aren't we planning what you're actually eating?
Because I don't want to eat it. Well, okay. Yeah.
So your future self doesn't ever eat any of those foods?
Not ever. I mean, okay. I would plan for it, but I don't. But I eat lunch, and then I want to eat with my husband. So I just don't. I want to be hungry. So mm-hmm. that doesn't fit into the plan.
So your future self plans her meals. And then once in a while, she does plan these kinds of foods. I just want to be really clear.
Yeah.
Okay. What would that look like? How often does she plan those kinds of foods? How much of those is she eating?
Not very much.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not that I wouldn't plan a snack. It's that I just wouldn't plan what we serve.
What's so interesting though, is like, you're putting it in your mouth all the time though.
Right.
So you're willing to put it in your mouth, but you're not willing to write it on paper.
Yep.
Why is that?
Pardon?
Why is that?
I have no idea.
You do actually. I want you to think about it for a minute. Why do you think you're willing to put it in your mouth, but not on paper?
Probably doesn't fit what I think is perfect.
Right. You actually want it, but you're judging the fact that you want it.
Yep. But I'm not hungry either. So
mm-hmm. I get okay. that. But okay. when we're in a position where like, I really want it, my future self doesn't eat it very often. But basically, I'm judging the person I am today, like she's supposed to be her future self right this minute. Perfect.
So why do I do that? Is that the question?
No, I
or just become aware of that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So how can you work into being your future self? Like, what would be a first step from where you truly are today? The honest you, how many days a week are you eating these things?
Well, I've been doing really well. I mean, and I haven't done it. So I started in January and I really haven't done it until yesterday, but before that, almost every day, even though I tell myself I wouldn't.
Okay. So, let's go with the truth, right? Like almost every day.
Yeah.
So your present self has whatever these foods are almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And your future self rarely eats them.
So no, I don't have them every day. I mean, so I haven't for January and whatever this week is in February. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for 5 weeks, I haven't done it.
Okay. But what are you doing this week?
So yesterday I did.
Okay. So it's just one day. So like, why is this a problem if you just did it for one day then?
Because I know I can do it for lots of days. If I do it one, that's what I'm afraid of. If I allow myself to do it once, then I'll keep doing it. Like there'll be some excuse.
Is that true though?
Probably not.
Right. If you didn't do it for 6 weeks and one day you did, why is it a problem at all? Why are you going this direction?
That's a good question. Yeah, it still probably goes back to the perfectness. It wasn't perfect off. So I beat myself up over that.
Yeah. I want you to think about like, have you had any opportunity to hear about like the phases of change and what the development of like a true new habit is in No BS? I know it's in the course and it's a few other places.
Probably. I mean, it sounds familiar, but it's not like clicking.
Okay. So just as like a little refresher, when we're making changes, that first set of awareness is like 20% of the time you're doing the new thing, 80% of the time you're not. Okay. And then you go into the next phase, which is just like that little next level of development where 40% of the time you're doing something and 60% you're not. And then it becomes that moment where you're doing it 60% of the time and then 40, and then the like amazing moment where you're doing it 80% of the time and 20% you're not. And that is when you have the new habit. So the new habit is considered valid and your new habit when you do it 80% of the time and 20% you don't.
Wow.
So I want you to think about, let's do the math of a 7 day week that you did not eat these things and one day you did. So 87.5% of the time you are doing the new habit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And okay. Like 12.5% you aren't.
Okay.
That is what it looks like to have a successful habit.
Interesting. And so then it's just my perfectionism that I put on that is not 100 and that's not healthy.
Right. Because you even said yourself, your future self eats these things. Not very often, but she does.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Okay. So it's just looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. You're welcome. Corinne talks about this as equal airtime. So your brain immediately went to look at how I'm imperfect. I'm back to this old habit, you know, I could go right into spiraling into doing this tomorrow. Okay. I mean, sure. Your brain went there. That's fine. Your brain may always go there. But the fact is 87.5% of the time, you're not eating those things.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So really what you're doing is developing a really awesome habit. The only thing going wrong is that your brain is telling you that on the day that you eat it, it's imperfect. But actually the imperfect is how a habit is, it's supposed to be. It's never supposed to be 100%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I wish you well. Find me out in the community in Facebook or in Ask Coaches. Let me know how it goes when you do your end of February evaluation. I want you to do the math and see what percentage you are not eating that food and what percentage you are. So you keep reminding yourself, like, this is what a successful habit is. 80-20, I'm at success. Perfection, okay. 100% is never your goal.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. This is so good, everybody, because I want you to remember there really is no such thing as perfection. It is like a mental construct that we think that if we do things all the time a certain way, that it's perfect. But my perfect is different than Coach Shannon's perfect. There is no actual perfect. And so, like, the idea that one day out of 6 weeks you do something and then you're in danger of starting again doing this habit, it's like, it doesn't have to be a problem. It depends on how you decide to think about it. So, all right, let's talk about I'll bring up the next person. You're welcome, Gina. Shannon, if you will spark the chat, everybody, what are your go-to snacks and candies? I want to know. Let's get them all out of ourselves. No secrets here. So my favorite things are like sour candies. Dove milk chocolate is a big one for me. I love potato chips, like straight plain potato chips, also like barbecue potato chips. Some of you know that I had gastrointestinal surgery a summer ago, so going on 2 years now, and it really affected my digestive system, and it just never went back to normal or what was normal at the time. And so I've had to decide, do these foods matter to me enough for the export of my body to be painful and uncomfortable and explosive? Or do I care about my body enough to not offer them as much? And I ultimately made the conscious choice to stop eating things that really agitated my gastrointestinal system. But I still do find ways to, you know, incorporate a chip or two. Chips are one thing that really bother me. But I just want you to see how even for myself, I really love some of those things, but my body just doesn't. And so I have this personal philosophy where, you know, my brain says, I love this. So my brain says, I love potato chips. And my mouth says, I love potato chips. But those are not my highest priority. That's just my brain and my mouth. There's other parts of my body too. There's my stomach. There's my gastrointestinal system. There's my bottom. Those things don't like potato chips very much at all. So how do you decide what's your highest priority? For me, the tongue was the lowest priority because the misery of my stomach and the rest of it spoke way louder than anything else. And so I just want you to remember as we move into the next person who's going to be Veronica, that we don't have to decide everything that we eat based on just our tongue. My stomach had a way louder voice than my tongue did in this case. So, all right. Hi, Veronica. I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's good. A Saturday morning.
So. Happy Saturday morning. What are you working on in terms of snacking and sweets and urges?
So I'm fighting the idea and that I just can't, if I want to lose weight, I just can't indulge because a lot of things, like I can't stop. My body just doesn't respond well to them. Mm-hmm. I won't lose weight. I think that one's the big one. Like if I do snack, I won't lose weight.
Okay. Are you snacking now?
I am.
Okay. How often? How much? Tell me all about it.
Frequently. I mean, I'm getting over a stomach bug. Sorry, my 2.5-year-old's here. Getting over a stomach bug. And so I'm having to snack a lot. But even when I'm not sick, I snack a lot. Candies or chips, or sometimes it's like healthy stuff too, but it's definitely snacking when I'm not hungry.
Describe it in even more detail. Let's get to the facts of it. So when you say I snack a lot, instead of the a lot, like how many times a day?
In addition to eating food or just the like meals, I probably eat 6 to 8 times a day.
Okay. And are you usually like 2 to 3 main meals and the rest is snacking?
Mainly two main. I don't really eat a lot of breakfast. I'm not a breakfasty person. So it's mainly lunch, dinner, but then I'll have like a mid-morning snack, mid-afternoon snack. Okay. Sometimes I'll snack while I'm making dinner and sometimes I'll snack after dinner.
And then tell me the types of food, like yesterday, what were the foods you snacked on?
Well, because I'm still fighting a stomach bug. So saltine crackers, ginger ale.
Okay, let's skip over the stomach bug. And
okay,
what was the last thing you snacked on prior to being sick?
So sometimes it's dark chocolate. Sometimes it's like high protein chips. Sorry, my husband's on the chair. High protein chips. So it's like the Quest chips. So they're, you know, technically good, better choices. Sometimes it's carrots. Sometimes it's nuts. Protein shakes, the Fairlife protein shakes. So they're rather, you know, low sugar, high protein.
Mm-hmm. Are you planning these things?
No.
Why not?
I think because I want to not snack. Like I guess the thought is that if I snacking, I should have enough during my meals to not need to snack.
Okay. Is that true though?
I guess it depends on the person and the day and my day. It depends on my day and how I feel.
I want to just repeat your snacks back to you to make sure I actually like understand what we're talking about. Some cheese, protein shakes, carrots, nuts, Quest protein chips.
Yeah.
And then you
sometimes I'll do chocolate too. Dark chocolate. Sometimes chocolate, yeah, you sometimes mentioned ice cream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ice cream sometimes because my son likes ice cream. And so it's hard for me to resist when he has some. Yeah.
If you like, what does your future self do? How does she approach these kinds of foods? Does she snack?
No.
Like none.
Well, if you mean the future self that has lost the weight and where I like as at maintenance and is doing well, mm-hmm. I think she wouldn't need to because she's getting all she needs in her meals.
Okay. So like she doesn't want to or she doesn't need to?
Doesn't need to.
Okay. Are you doing it because you need to?
No, not all the time. Like probably 20% of the time I need to. And the rest is probably just because it tastes good. It sounds good. It looks good.
If you were going to become her in X amount of months, what do you think you would have to think about snack foods today to make a 1% level up from where you are now to work towards being her today?
It's hard because I think it's not even like because when I do indulge, it's because I'm stressed, I'm tired. So it's a reaction. It's not because I'm hungry. So I guess I need to believe that I don't need to eat them unless I'm actually hungry. Does that answer the question?
Well, I want you to think about that even more. You're doing a lot of referencing to needing, like your brain is telling you, you need these foods for something. So what are they doing for you?
They, make me like they help during stressful times at work. Sometimes I am hungry and they, you know, give me the protein that I need to like go through the day, mm-hmm. And not make, you know, eat more. But I think sometimes, Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Are you planning the ones that like, so when you're eating protein shake, carrots, let's leave out the dark chocolate, all the rest of them. Are you planning those?
Sometimes, but not all the time. Like I won't put it on a paper, but I like pack my snacks during the day so that I only will be able to choose from those items to eat.
So you like write on your plan choice of snacks that I packed kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you choose from those.
Mm-hmm. So I don't say exactly what I'll eat, but I give myself 5 healthier options. So in the moment, I can only choose from that.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. I mean, I think that's a great process because you're planning them basically. Yes, you don't have to plan them specifically, but you are basically saying which, whatever, you know, from my snack bin. And then what you're planning are snacks that give you something like protein shakes, carrots, nuts, protein chips. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned eating snacks to manage stress.
Mm-hmm.
How is that working for you?
I mean, I feel better in the moment, but it doesn't get me my weight loss.
Okay. So I want you to stop there though. So are you really feeling better in the moment? Like what exactly happens in the moment? Describe it to me.
I enjoy the food. Well, sometimes I'm eating rush because I'm at work, but I enjoy the taste of the food at least. Like it, like sometimes I'm hangry and so it'll get me out of that hangry emotion so I can focus and get through the day. It'll take away a headache.
It distracts you.
Distracts me. Mm-hmm.
So do you want food to be a distraction?
No.
So what other things have you tried to create distraction from your anger or your stress?
Like just taking a mental break, going to social media. Ideally I'd love to walk at lunch, but I just get so busy at work. I can't because then I'd have to stay late, to get the work done. Yeah.
So what is it that you've tried to reduce your stress other than food again?
Like social media.
Is social media stress reducing?
For me, it is. It just gives me like a, yeah.
Okay. Great.
Like it's not, it's like I look at like reels or I like look at photos or, you know, to see what's happening in the world.
So this is an area that I would love to see you like amp up your efforts, Veronica. Right now, like you're bringing the snack bag and you're telling yourself like, this is my stress relief. It makes my anger go away. Well, of course you're going to turn to the snack bag when you're telling yourself that story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is it normal that you tell yourself the story that the food is taking away my stress and my anger?
Why is it normal? Because in the moment it feels that it does.
Okay. Because you've practiced it for a while and you've really become an expert at letting food distract you. Is that what I basically hear you saying?
Sure.
Okay. So what, like if we were going to use the four ends, right? You notice you're thinking, you think the food takes your stress away or your anger away. You've mentioned a couple different things. And then you normalized it, like you've practiced it and you haven't practiced other behavior. So of course, like your brain is going to go there. What would be a neutral? Like what are the facts here?
I'm snacking more than I need to for hunger.
That's another thought.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So let's think about what is a fact. A fact is like an absolute hard truth. There are no opinions. There are no descriptive words. It's like undisputable in a court of law, basically.
So I'm snacking.
okay, that you could say that, but really it's like just there's food. I ate this food.
Okay.
Right. So you could make a list of like what, you know, let's pretend in your bag that day was cheese and protein shake. It's like, I drank a protein shake. I drank mm-hmm. 8 ounce protein shake. There's food in my bag, right? It's like the absolute facts with no description at all. Like,
okay,
food exists. So if food exists, what is food's purpose?
Well, ideally, it's just nutritional value.
Okay. And you, like, it's okay to enjoy it too while you're giving your body nutritional value too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to like lots of people culturally connect over food and enjoy it and fuel their bodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
are we still in the circumstance or are we still in the
thought? Yeah, we're down talking about the fact, the circumstance of okay. it, but we're working into like what a next best thought would be. So we're just okay. kind of sorting through some of the possible thinking that you can have here, right? Okay. It's like there's food. Food fuels your body. Mm-hmm. Now, secondarily, you can enjoy it while it's fueling your body. You can feel that fellowship of family and camaraderie and social while it's fueling your body. But food in and of itself does nothing for stress or anger. It's just food. Your brain thinks it's doing something for stress or anger. What do you think it's doing for your stress or anger?
I think it's like giving me that sugar dopamine hit to feel better.
Okay. So if you were thinking about next best thought or action, and I'd like you to focus on the action part of it right now, because what could you do instead mm-hmm. to offer yourself stress and anger relief? And I know there's other thought, other emotions, other feelings that you're having, but you mentioned those two. So I'm leaning into those.
Sure.
Two. Okay. So what do you want to try before you lean into food?
I saw some people say deep breathing exercises, which I can do.
Yeah.
I kind of want to learn how to just sit with it and just not act on it.
Yeah.
Just feel it and just, yeah.
That's something that deep breathing does offer you, right? Because you are sitting there deep breathing, but literally you're also sitting with the urge. And this is exactly where I wondered if you would go, is like, what if you decided it doesn't have to be a problem that I want relief from my anger or my stress, and I can offer myself relief by sitting here without food? Like, relief is possible without food. Do you believe relief is possible without food?
It's a possibility. Yeah.
So if we were looking for a next best thought mm-hmm. and you're open to the possibility, what could be a starting next best thought? Remembering that a next best thought is not about unicorns and daisies and roses. We're not skipping through a field, holding hands together. It's like 5% better thought than your current one offers great relief. So what could you think about stress and anger management that's just like 5% better than how you think about it right now?
What was my other thought? Just so I can tweak it a little bit.
That food was helping you manage stress and anger, that food was taking it away. You said both of those.
So I guess food's not necessary to take away my stress and anger.
Sure. But let's leave food out of the thought even.
Okay.
What's possible for you to practice thinking about your stress and anger management that has nothing to do with food?
Um, my stress and anger will pass.
Okay. How does that feel?
I mean, it's true. Eventually it will.
That's another thought though. How does it feel when you think my stress and anger will eventually pass? Excuse me.
It's kind of like a nervous or like, it's not neutral.
Okay. It doesn't have to be neutral, but if it feels nervous, it's not a power thought for you, right? Cause it's not going to inspire you to do it. So let's brainstorm a couple together. What about, I'm going to practice learning how to affect my stress and anger, you know, through all different techniques. Like I'm going to try new techniques to learn how to manage my stress and anger.
Mm-hmm. Or I can. I can handle. I can handle my stress, I guess, or I can. A neutral thought. Neutral thought
doesn't have to be neutral. It just needs to be 5% better.
Okay.
Than your thought that food is fixing it.
Okay.
Like, are you going to learn how to affect it in different ways? Are you going to try new techniques to affect it? Like, tell me what you want to do. And that's kind of when next best thought and action. Sometimes having the next best action helps you go back and figure out a next best thought. So if you're willing to experiment, like you said, with like deep breathing and practice sitting with the urge, what I hear you saying with that is that you're committed to practicing other ways.
Mm-hmm.
To experience and process your stress and anger.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, I can find other ways to deal with stress.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does it feel when you think I'm going to find other ways? You use, I think, the word deal to deal with my stress and anger. How does that feel in your body?
Feels more relaxed, more like productive.
Okay. So I think when, if you notice when we were brainstorming, the last thought kind of made you feel like not very positive, but feeling relaxed is really good. So practicing that thought while you practice other techniques, and we talked about breathing and someone asked about it. So let's just talk about it here together. Mm-hmm. In one of my other coaching certifications, I learned like 60 different breathwork techniques. And someone in the chat asked about one a minute ago, box breathing specifically. And so I'll just teach it to you really quickly here right now. If you think about a box, all the sides are, equal, basically. I mean, I realize a box could be rectangular too, but think about a square box. And so oftentimes, like a count to four is a great start. So in your brain, I'm going to teach you two layers of this. In your brain, you would be counting to four while you breathe in. So it's like one, two, three, four. Hold. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. One, two, three, four. Hold there. One, two, three, four. And you want to make sure those are set like true seconds, right? I'm doing a little faster here. And then go to five. Now, I sometimes go all the way to 10, but there's no pressure what number you go to. You want to stop doing the rotation at numbers that are comfortable for you. You could just stay at four, three or four rounds. But here's what I do while I'm doing it. I allow my brain to comfort myself. So I start with like my hand here, I pat or rub, and then in my brain, I say to myself, I create my own safety. I'm safe in my own body. And then the counting happens, right? So I'm saying, I breathing in, and my brain is telling me, I create my own safety. I'm safe in my own body. And I hold, and then I let that sentence happen again. I create my own safety. I'm safe in my own body. And then I exhale. And then I say the sentences while I hold again. and I allow the heat from my hands to penetrate into my heart in my chest zone. And then I do it again at count to five. And, you know, you can keep going up the ladder or down. Do that three or four rounds. And I would even recommend before you start giving yourself a 1 to 4 on the stress and anger, like 4 being the most, 1 being the least. My guess is if you're requiring comfort from your own stress and anger, you might be a 3 or 4. And then I check it with myself after and I ask myself, now, how do I feel? And oftentimes I will keep doing it until if it was a 4, it goes to a 2. If it was a 3, it goes to a 2 or 1. And until it creates true relief for myself. And I just remind myself, I create my own body. I create my safety. And in your case, my anger, I am safe with my anger and my stress. It's okay to have stress and anger. Do you want to eat through it? You don't. You've said it. You don't. But it's a way to acknowledge that as a human being, it's okay for you to have stress and anger and experience it and just be with it. So I want you to try that for the next few weeks. You can always, Coach Shannon and I are in Ask Coaches and we're both in Facebook. Tag us at the end of the month after you've tried this for a few weeks and let us know how it's going. If you're in Ask Coaches, you could just put attention Coach Shannon or Coach Julie or both of us.
Julie.
Yeah. And let us know how it goes and how we can support you further on this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'll see you soon. So good. Thanks, Shannon. Breath work has been a revelation for me. I know so many of you know I've talked about it a lot recently. I fantastically work on feeling my feelings every day of my life. It is the key to having lost 94 pounds for me, and it is going to be the key of the next 80 pounds for me. I absolutely denied myself the ability to feel my feelings forever. I told myself that a strong woman doesn't cry. I told myself that to be powerful, I had to be Teflon. I had so many stories about what it meant to be a strong, independent woman. And I have had the gift of a lifetime inside of No BS, unraveling those stories and then experiencing my feelings, creating my own safety, loving myself through that, realizing that I truly am perfect the way that I am. This is my life's work. And so it's a gift to spend the morning here working on this with you. So for sure, I am going to take one more person and maybe two. Billy, you're up next. I love it, everybody. I have cried at work too. I'm crying right now at work. Let's be real. Hi, Billy. I'm going to ask you to... Oops, I just asked. There you go. Hi. And I'm going to ask you to start your video. Hi. Oh, I can't hear you.
Now, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi. Okay.
Hello. I can't believe I got on here. Second time. MJ once.
I'm excited to see you.
Oh, thank you. So my snacking issue is a chocolate chip, well, any sugar-free cookie.
Okay.
Sugar-free cookies are in the house. My husband's diabetic. And it's so one of the things that we keep in the house that we can both have. And I try to not have a restriction on it. It's on my plan every day. Okay. Problem is, because it's on my plan, even if I don't put it on my plan, it doesn't matter. I will go eat them. Out of stress, I have tried making a meal out of them as part of my plan. I've tried like putting it as 4 of my bites, you know, like on my little plate. And it just doesn't seem to matter. This week, I just didn't order them. And it's already driving me insane. So it's like, okay, this, I can't restrict these for like the rest of my life. This is not what I want. I want future me to be able to be like, yeah, I can have a couple of sugar-free cookies. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And so my thoughts are very much in the way.
I was just going to ask you. So like, what is stopping you from planning them and eating them every day for the rest of your life? And are you in weight loss? Or are you in maintenance? Tell me that part of the puzzle.
So I have been gaining and losing and maintaining the same 2 pounds since December 1st.
Do you want to be losing weight?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So do you want to be losing weight, and do you want to be a person that lost all their weight and still eats sugar-free chocolate chip cookies?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
You. Okay. I don't want to eat sugar-free chocolate chip cookies, but I want to eat the things I want to eat. And I have to tell you, like, I'm losing every pound eating the food I want to eat. So tell me what's stopping you.
I eat too many of them. Like,
what's too many?
I will say I will put like one cookie on my plan, and then I get to grab it and it's like, well, how many? I look at the box, how many cookies are a serving? Oh, well, the box says 3 cookies are a serving, so I should have 3 cookies. So I have 3 cookies, and then they're small. So, you know, later when I'm stressing, they're just small cookies. They're just small, right? Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
I know they're adding up. I know they're causing a problem.
Why are you only planning one cookie?
Because I eat so many of them. I don't know. Just trying to cut it back.
Okay. So on average, you eat how many cookies?
Oh, I would say 6 to 9.
Okay.
And they're about like that big. They're not.
So you're eating 6 to 9 and you're planning one. Why are you doing that?
Some days I plan one. Some days I plan 6. Some days I don't write a number.
Okay.
In hopes that will not mess with my brain in any way.
How does that work?
It doesn't really make a difference. I mean, I feel less restricted. I don't feel as stressed about it.
You ever planned 9?
No.
Why not?
Because it sounds like so many.
Because you have a thought that it's so many, right?
That it's so many.
Yeah, because you're judging yourself.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Yeah. I think is the place to spend time for you, is like working on that judgment, being willing to plan 9. And let me explain it, right? Before anybody freaks out, think about anything that we do in life, right? If you are eating 9 of anything, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're eating 9 apples a day and you want to eat 1 apple a day, do you go from 9 to 1 on anything?
Well, no, not usually.
Right. And the only thing you haven't tried is planning 9, allowing your judgment thoughts, eating 9, and learning how to plan 9, and then choose 8, and then choose 7, and then realize, like, right now, for a couple months, I might want to choose 6. I might want to stay at 6 for 6 months while I lose some weight. And then, oh, now I think I want to try 5. So I make homemade ice cream. This is my thing. I don't think anybody knows this. This is my thing. I am obsessed with making homemade ice cream. I freaking love ice cream. Homemade ice cream.
Right.
So I used to eat a like tub of it. So I did this little science experiment with myself, and I like paused after every bite. And within 3 bites, I realized I no longer taste ice cream. It coats my tongue. I'm not tasting it. I'm not enjoying it. And I want to be a person who loses every pound and eats my own freaking homemade ice cream.
Right. Yeah.
But once I realized like that whole quart is pointless to eat because I'm not even tasting it, like I stopped and was like, okay, I planned a quart and then a quarter or a half and then a quarter. And then the next thing you know, I never plan over three bites and I usually take one or two. But it's because I taught myself the true enjoyment is in the first three bites.
Right.
But I had to give myself permission to eat the whole freaking tub first.
Okay. Right. Because I also have figured out that I am not losing weight because I overeat once a day and not necessarily cookies. I mean, cookies are just the extra stressor. Yes. There's a whole meal of overeating once a day.
Such good awareness, Billy, because right now your brain is telling you things about cookies specific, which kind of closes the door to other possibilities too. Mm-hmm. So if you gave yourself permission, like I give myself permission to learn about me, I'm going to plan 9 cookies on the day that I eat 9 cookies. I'm going to create a lot of awareness about what my brain says to me. Okay. What do I make 9 cookies mean about me? What do I think about being a person who eats 9 cookies? I want you to ask yourself questions while you're eating 9 cookies. I want you to think about it with that curiosity. That's like, at 7, was I bored of these cookies and I'm just eating them out of habit? Like, when do I stop really like loving them? When do they slip from something I really enjoy to just like this habit and I'm not paying attention?
Right. Just an emotional eat.
Right. For me, that was the three bites, right? And you, it's going to be different. It just was an example. I want you to get into that, put on your lab coat, get into curiosity, do like 9 cookies for an entire week and just notice all the things. If you eat 9 cookies, notice what your brain says. If you eat less than 9 cookies, notice what your brain says.
Right.
If you're doing it out of like punishment, like, no, you shouldn't do that. I want you to like spend some time there. Why is it exactly? It's the only thing you haven't tried, right?
Because I end up chastising myself and then I'm like, yeah, I'm not supposed to do that. And then why did you eat them? Oh, I was emotional. And it keeps going in the same circle. Yes. And yeah.
Yeah. I want you to ask yourself this one question, no matter what, before you eat anything. Why is more better?
Okay.
I want you to answer that. Like if you've had 3 today and you go to grab the next batch of them, I want you to answer that question. If you've had 6 and tonight you go to grab 3 more, I don't care how many you eat. I just want you to wake up your brain to what it is you're telling yourself the cookies are doing for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that's how you're going to craft being a person who eats the right amount of them for you and your weight loss.
Okay.
So I want to give you the same recommendation though, that I just gave Veronica and also Kristen. And that is, Shannon and I are in Ask Coaches and Facebook. I would love to continue supporting you on this. So if after you've tried this for a week or two, come in to Ask Coaches and do attention, Coach Julie or Shannon, we'll tag each other and we want to hear what the outcome is of your experiments. And we want to support you in like being a person who loses all her weight while she eats the right number of cookies for her.
Right. Right. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right. I'll see you soon.
Okay.
All right. Meredith, I'm not sure how fast or slow your question is, but we have like 5 more minutes. So I'm happy to have you join me. Oh, hand went down, I think. Oh no, here she is. Oh, I love daisies.
Mute.
Okay.
Video. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry at all.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. So my question is, I've been planning every day since I joined and I never thought I'd be a planner.
And congratulations.
I actually love it. And I'm very good at planning like the breakfast, the lunch, dinners for the most part, like, cause I'm a creature of habit and I eat the same foods pretty much every day anyhow. So that's not a problem. Right. With the snacks, I write in my plan, anything at hungry must stop at enough, because there's some, I guess I'm just like, I don't know if I'm playing mind games with myself. Like I'm I feel like I'm afraid to decide on specific snacks because then I don't know, there's something in my head like where I'll want the thing I didn't plan for the day, or it'll make me like really binge eat because it's not on my plan. Like I had an eating disorder years ago in college, which I did work on and I'm okay. But I don't know, there's something that I feel like gets triggered if I'm like, I'll just have like, you know, this packet of cookies, or, you know, if it's a specific item. And I just want to know, I guess, if it's okay to plan that way, or if there's work I should be doing. So I could say, you know, snacks for the day are this, this, and this.
Okay. It's 100% okay to plan that way, but I want to challenge you a little bit. How long have you been planning every day? How long have you been a member?
It'll be 1 year in March.
Congratulations.
I'm trying really hard to get into Queen's Club before my 1 year anniversary. I have like 4 or 5 pounds to go.
So you are in weight loss.
Yeah, I'm in weight loss. Yes.
So the first thing that I want to do is have you practice giving yourself that test. So am I working towards my goal planning this way? And it sounds like the answer is yes.
I mean, for the most part, I do well with it, and I'll have there are nights I won't eat any snacks because I'm like, I'm not hungry. And my go-to snack, like my treat, would be something chocolate. And on a call, MJ mentioned she buys like these really small ice creams, like 4 ounces.
Yeah.
And I was eating ice cream out of a small bowl, but my small bowl is probably double or triple of MJ's little ice creams. And I bought those.
Yeah.
So I leveled up doing that. I'm sorry. I don't even know if I'm focusing on what you asked me.
No, you did great. So really, you are still working on changing processes, but you have lost about 20 pounds mm-hmm. while you 20, 21 pounds while you have planned this sort of open-ended snacking.
Yes.
Okay. So I think the rule of thumb here in general is like when things are working, they're not broken. So they're working for you. On the other hand, I want to offer you this too.
Okay.
You have lots of thoughts about why you're giving yourself choices for snacks. And I think here at NoBS, one of the best things you can do is ask yourself if you like your reasons for something. And so when you're telling yourself your reasons for leaving it open-ended, if you like your reasons for that mindset, you're golden.
Okay.
But if you're like, it's a little shady. Like, I'd like to be a person who doesn't think they're going to binge on something if they're told specifically an item to eat or not. Then I would also go right back to our last caller and put on the lab coat and experiment. Like, 6 days a week, give yourself the open-ended. 1 day a week, guide yourself. Because the only piece that's missing by leaving it open-ended is you're missing a little bit of an opportunity to build a relationship of trust with yourself.
Okay. And so
by being specific in what you're choosing, you're allowing your conscious brain to drive the bus, basically. And so what you're doing when you leave it open-ended is you're letting that in the moment habit part of your brain be like, what do I want? What do I feel like?
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, right? And at this point, you're in weight loss. So this clearly isn't the hugest problem for you.
Right.
But we all go through ebbs and flows with weight loss. It slows down, it speeds up, it stops, we gain a little. And so having done some of this work will really empower you to make changes at the point that like things change for you, which they do for all of us sometimes. So experimenting with curiosity and like, what would it be? What comes up for me when I plan a specific food and I've agreed that if I don't want that thing, I'm not going to have a snack?
Okay. I know in the past it's been restriction and like it puts me in like, I guess an uncomfortable mindset or whatever, but, yeah. And that's, I guess I need to work on that.
However, you are no longer in the past, right? The past is not an indicator of the present or future. You are now a NoBS woman that has all these tools. You really have no idea if you're going to respond the same way anymore.
Okay.
And if you do, it doesn't have to be a problem, but wouldn't it be great to know and have the ability to like work on building that relationship with yourself and that trust So we don't have to challenge. You're not doing anything wrong. You're doing it great.
Okay.
And it might be fun to experiment and get to know yourself doing it this other way, but not in such a threatening way that you won't do it, right? Like that's that comfort zone where you don't want to be so threatened you back off from it, but then want to be in curiosity to try things.
So start, if I'm hearing you correct, start with one night to plan it out and see how it goes. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I love your artwork.
Thank you. I can post it in Facebook or
please do. I love it. It's an artist for me.
It was made for me, but it's a woman who does this kind of art. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for help. All right.
Bye now. I just want to thank you all for being here. This has been a really incredible call. Thank you so much. And I look forward to tag me in Facebook or in Ask Coaches. Tag Shannon. Let us know how you're doing with your snacking. If you didn't get to get coached or you had something that did not, like you had a question about, it didn't get answered, you know to come to Ask Coaches and find us. Tag us in Facebook if you just want us to see what you're posting about. Have a lovely rest of your day. I will see you all soon. Thank you so much. Thanks, Coach Shannon.